Hey, it's Aaron Hogan, Genesis driver, encouraging you to experience the difference between ordinary and extraordinary with the Genesis GV80 at Genesis of Round Rock. You'll discover bold design, advanced technology, and refined power. And this month at Genesis of Round Rock, enjoy ultra-low APR financing, just 0.49% APR for up to 48 months on select 2026 GV80 models. You heard that right, 0.49%. Get out there and see them at Genesis of Round Rock, 2201 North May Street, or explore your options online at genesisofroundrock.com. Luxury never looks so good. Welcome to Genesis.
From the 102.7 ESPN studios in Austin, Texas, this is the Jeff and Ed Show.
Happy Friday afternoon, everyone. Happy Friday afternoon. I'm Ed Clements along with Kyle Owen. Welcome to the show on this Friday afternoon. Jeff is on vacation. He will be back Monday. Kyle, it's been a busy day of sorts, sorta. It's been busy the last 30 minutes from the British Open, and it's going to be a terrific weekend of sports with the World Cup final and all sorts of things. Let's start with the British Open. First of all, controversy aplenty. Here's the deal. They just made a decision. Bryson DeChambeau, the American golfer who plays on the LIV Tour, shot a 66 today. He finished at -7, but lo and behold, at hole number 5 today at Birkdale at the British Open, Bryson DeChambeau hit it into the very high, wispy grass, way off the fairway. They found his ball, and he went to his ball, and he was able to hit it out, hit it over the green, and then he ended up making a bogey on the hole. Well, after the round, the Royal and Ancient Rules guys said, not so fast, Kim Osabi. We're going to charge you with a 2-stroke penalty because I believe they said you improved your lie. It was in the middle of this high grass. You're talking over the ankle grass. And he was stepping to look at the shot. He was stepping to set up the shot. And he made a 5. And went on his merry way. He had a great day today shooting the 66. But after much discussion about 10 minutes ago, the Royal and Ancient said, Bryson, you couldn't do that. You committed a violation, 2-stroke penalty. So instead of being 7-under par for the tournament, he's now 5-under par. Here's the rundown. Lucas Herbert from Australia is at 8-under par. He shot a brilliant 62 today. Jackson Suber, the kid from Ole Miss, shot 69. He's at -6. He's tied with Cameron Young and Ryan Gerard, two Americans. Sam Burns also shot a 62 today. Chipped it in from the bunker on 18. He's at -5 along with Bryson. Siwoo Kim. Matt Wallace leads a group with Bud Colley, Thomas Dietrich. Scotty Scheffler's another at -4. That also includes Fleetwood, Rahm. They're all at number 4. And former Longhorn Pearson Cootie, having the best tournament major he's ever had. This might be his first major. He's at -3. Mark Brooks, the former PGA champion who's been watching the tournament. I'm reaching out to you on this Bryson DeChambeau controversy because I'm a bit confused. What did you see, and do you think that Bryson DeChambeau deserved a penalty from the Royal and Ancient officials today, Kim Osabi?
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Yeah, between naps, can you hear me okay, first of all?
Yes, you sound great. You look great, too. You look resplendent there, my friend.
Thank you. I have on my master's.
Your master's today. Hat. Beautiful. Okay.
Yeah. It's full nap afternoon here. Everything's so wet. It was not a golf day, so I started early, and we caught up with this. I don't even think the controversy is that if he saw the video of himself, which I'm certain that they showed him, it's not even close, Ed. I mean, it's like, it's an embarrassment, to be honest with you. It's a clear, not only a clear, he had multiple violations of the rule. Not even close. Not even close.
But let me ask you, though, Mark. He found the ball. He hit it way
no,
right.
No, they found the ball.
They found the ball. He didn't find the ball. But
that's right.
As he looked at the ball and said, I'm going to hit it out, you have to walk on some of those big, wispy, big, the grass, don't you?
No, you don't, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to bend, break, or any of anything growing or fixed that's anywhere near your intended swing. And that would be, that would include potential swing area. So it'd be, for example, you walk in there and you bend a push a limb back, or you break off a limb accidentally or on purpose. And then you say, oh, no, I didn't. I'm not going to swing that direction. I'm going to actually go this other way. So that limb wouldn't even be in my line of my swing anymore. And so would that be a penalty? Absolutely. 1000%. Yes. And if you watch the video again, which will, you know, it's going to be up. His last approach to the ball. Let's start with this. First of all, he didn't find the ball. It was already identified. So when he walked in, he knew the exact location of the ball. And he was walking in there, and Smiley said something about, you know, well, you have the right to stand behind your ball and look at your line. That's ridiculous. Of course you don't. Particularly don't if you're going to trample down or you're going to alter the intended swing to, you know, the swing path area. So it's real simple. But if you watch it again, on his final approach into the ball, I mean, he smashes down the big chunk of fescue, and if you watch it slow-mo, he swings right over the top. His club head goes right over where that bush was. So if I'm shocked that if Bryson saw that video and ran it even in slow-mo when his last walk in, he'd go, yeah, man, I messed up. And that's what he should be saying, and because that's what he should be saying, not this other thing.
So what he should have done was just gingerly walk behind the ball, but not in the path of the club.
You're not entitled to walk. There's nowhere in the rules that say, hey, you got the right to go stand behind your ball, tramp behind your ball.
But I'm saying he should have gotten away from the ball where he would not have been damaged or destroyed the fescue behind his ball. That's what I'm saying.
Correct. Okay. Correct. He could, where he wouldn't bend or break or anything that would be anywhere near where his club head might swing. So, yes, to answer your question, yeah, he should have taken a much wider path if he wanted to go get behind his ball. He needed to be, you know, 5-6 feet behind it.
Okay. So, he now goes from one shot back to three shots back behind Lucas Herbert. There's 36 holes to make up those three shots. Correct, Amundo?
Correct, Amundo. I mean, we've had guys that make quads on opening holes and win golf tournaments, but I think the bigger issue here is going to be, is he, in that brain of his, as he assesses it, and, you know, I'm sure they're going to have a public relations committee meeting this evening at his whatever house he's rented, and they're going to have to come up with a plan. I mean, the last thing he should be, if he thinks about not playing tomorrow because he feels like he got wronged, man, he is going to be big time loser on this deal. Big time loser.
You know, he turned down the Golf Channel and USA Today's interview, going, he's hitting balls right now, which, you know, you got to cool down. But hopefully he'll say, okay, I'll accept it. It's a challenge. Let's go, because he's playing great. And you look at the leaderboard, to me, Lucas Herbert, the live player from Australia, nice player, no world beater. Jackson Suber is having the 2 days of his life, the Ole Miss kid. Cameron Young is legitimate. He's got big street cred. Ryan Gerard, not much street cred. Sam Burns, the Ryder Cupper, he's got street cred. And then there's Bryson DeChambeau at 5 with Siwoo Kim. It's there. It's there for him to make a move, as it's there for a lot of players, including our own Scottie Scheffler at -4.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, this thing's so far from over. I think what happens, too, this is kind of like U.S. Opens to a certain degree. It's a mixed up field. You know, it's a very unusual field. And when you take conditions that are the ball's, you know, running really fast, and even guys that played there in 17, you know, the last time they played there, very unfamiliar with how the golf course is playing. I still think you're going to see the cream rise to the top, but it is not unheard of for British Opens to get won by let's just call it lesser known players, Todd Hamilton, Ben Curtis.
Yeah.
These things happen over there because it's such unusual conditions. But, you know, ball's rolling 80 yards, 100 yards, whatever it's doing. But I think the cream will rise. And right now, I'd like to say Scottie Scheffler's the favorite right now.
Tommy Fleetwood is also -4. John Rahm shot 67. He's at -4 as well. Those are quality folk. Shane Lowry's at -3. Ludvig Åberg, -3. There's a lot of top players near that leaderboard.
Yeah, John Rahm got his warning for bad behavior today.
I didn't see it. What did he throw a club or what did he do? Did he do it, Sergio? What did he do?
No, it was just a little Spanish. He hit what he thought was going to be a poor shot on the 15th hole, and he slung his 5 or 6 or 7 iron, whatever he was hitting. He slung it out in front of him, and it kind of wobbled on the ground. And of course, when you put 5K, 8K cameras on it, it looks like the shaft's, you know, vibrating off the end, you know, to it like a broken tuning fork. I didn't see the harm in it. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And I know ridiculous outbursts have to be addressed. I'm all for that. But slinging a club on the ground, kind of out in front of you on turf that's like impossible to damage, I think let's let it go. Because my thought is, where are we going to go next? The thought police?
Yeah.
You had a bad thought. Uh-huh. That's a warning. So it's like, let's let them just get after it. I mean, we would never had Tommy Bolt chunking his driver in the lake at Cherry Hills in the U.S. Open after sniping one in the water. So some of the most famous, memorable things are when clubs get airtime.
You got to be happy for Pearson Cootie, the former Longhorn, grandson of Charlie Cootie, who shot a 70 today. He's at -3. Ironically, he bogeyed number 8 2 days in a row, but he's playing the best golf. I think it's his first major. He's playing terrific golf.
I would bet he's played a U.S. Open by now.
Okay.
In fact, he might. I don't know if he's played a PGA or not. I'm not going to dare go dig it up on you because I might get cut off. But I doubt that. I bet he's played in a major before. He's played good this year. I mean, he must be healthy. And, you know, he and his brother, they both fought a lot of injuries. And Pearson's fought quite a few injuries. And I just hope he's healthy and he can stay healthy for the long run because he's such a good player, you know, beyond dedicated to the game and great kid. I love him. He works his butt off. Both of them do, but he and his brother, and he deserves it. He's worked his tail off for years now, and let's just hope he stays healthy.
And we're not going to talk about Jordan Spieth. We'll talk about him tomorrow on the 15th Club Golf Show on KLBJ, but oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Disappointment city for Jordan Spieth again.
Yeah, well, we can talk briefly. I mean, his display on the 7th when he missed the green with a wedge, sand wedge, you know, whatever, they're hitting gap wedges and wedges in there. Not a tough shot today. Made a nice pitch up. He putted from off the green, so I guess he technically 5-putted if we want to get real about it. Or 4-putted, 4-putted anyway. Putted it up there like 3 feet, and he 3-putted from 3 feet.
Mm.
That's a microcosm of part of what's been going on. And, you know, again, beyond sloppy, he didn't play very good yesterday. And, you know, he gets out to an okay start today. Needs to shoot, well, it turns out a couple under par. And he was kind of cruising okay. And then he just makes this double out of nowhere. And it was literally just because of bad wedge and 4 putts from off the green. I mean, it was just awful to watch. And, yeah. Mercifully, they didn't show him there at the end. But, you know, I feel bad for him. But time to regroup, man. Something's got to change.
Time to regroup. He shot 77 today. You think Scotty's a favorite, and the betting markets have Scotty as the favorite right now. Scotty is +550.
Scotty hasn't made many putts yet, Ed. That putt he made for par on the last hole, they claim was the longest putt he made today. It was probably, I don't know, 10 or 12 feet, 10 feet.
Yeah.
So he didn't make anything today. I think he's hit more fairways basically than anybody in the field, which is incredible. And he just kind of keeps it up, you know, makes a couple putts. There's no way he's not going to be there with 9 holes to play.
Okay. Hey, thanks for the visit. Well, see you tomorrow afternoon, 5 o'clock at Dirty Martin's for the 15th Club Golf Show on our sister station, KLBJ. Thank you for the visit. So I can't believe, I'm not, you're a rules guy, but you're agreeing with the RNA.
I'm not a rules guy. I tell you what, I'm going to put my PR cap on. If we're going to find out if Bryson's team is as smart as they need to be, because this deal's easy. This is an easy one. This is I messed up and let's get on with the program situation, okay. Period. I messed up. I learned a big lesson and let's move on. That's all this. That one's easy.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. See you tomorrow, buddy. Thank you.
Got it.
All right, Mark Brooks.
You got it,
man. Bye-bye. Mark Brooks, a former Texas Longhorn All-American golfer, winner of the 1996 PGA Championship and winner 7 times on the PGA Tour. He played in 10 British Opens, including a couple at Birkdale. So just his thoughts on Bryson DeChambeau. And if you just joined us, Bryson DeChambeau was assessed a 2-stroke penalty on hole number 5 today after he disrupted his line while hitting his second shot, and this decision was made after the round. He didn't sign his scorecard until 4 o'clock, which is almost 10 o'clock in England, Kyle. So they held up everything. So he'll start tomorrow 3 shots behind Lucas Herbert and 4 shots behind 3 shots behind Lucas Herbert, 2 behind Jackson Suber, Cam Young, and Ryan Gerard. So I'm glad Mark got to. We'll talk more British Open later. We're going to take a break. After this break, we're going to discuss the World Cup final, which is coming up this weekend, and there's some concern about health conditions. We'll talk about that. Plus, a lot of college football news from around the country. More, boy, the Texas Tech football program can't avoid big news, and there's more news from Texas Tech today and much, much more here on 102.7 ESPN.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements, afternoons 4 to 6 on 102.7 ESPN.
You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
Sometimes kids play with pretend guns. It's up to us to make sure they don't play with real ones. Keep yours stored locked and unloaded. Learn more at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Jeff and Ed Show on 102.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Ed Clements, joined by Kyle Owen today as we talk sports till 6 o'clock tonight here on 102.7 ESPN. Jeff's going to be back on Monday. World Cup final is Sunday afternoon in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Spain versus Argentina. But man, oh man, is it smoky on the East Coast.
Hey everyone, I'm meteorologist Aaron Mankowski with a weather update as we make our way to the World Cup final, 3 p.m. on Sunday. For Thursday and Friday in the New York City area, we have the smoke from wildfires in Canada, and that smoke will elevate pollutants across the area. So expect air quality issues for Thursday and Friday. Now on Saturday, rain is likely, and that rain will wash some of those particles out of the atmosphere, so conditions will improve a bit on Saturday, but we'll have the rain. Now on Sunday, we'll have a few showers very early in the day. Skies should clear out in time for the game. It'll be noticeably less humid on Sunday as well, with temperatures in the mid-80s. Now, forecasting for wildfires is difficult, so we could see some smoke flare up again on Sunday. We'll continue to monitor that for you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Weatherman. FIFA met with U.S. officials and I think some government officials today, and as of now at 4:26, Kyle, they're still going to have the game in East Rutherford. Despite all the smoke, we were watching the Philadelphia Philly game last night against the New York Mets, and the game was in Philadelphia. It wasn't in New York, and it was smoky as can be there in Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's extremely smoky. I mean, I just had a friend send me a picture, and it literally looks yellow in the sky with the amount of smoke is in the area. It's pretty bad, and I don't know why you want to put the spotlight of the world on a place that just looks terrible.
Yeah. Well, and also, it's unhealthy, too.
Yeah, exactly.
It is unhealthy, and I don't know what's going to happen if the rain does not come to New York tomorrow and the smoke stays. That is going to be an unhealthy deal. And you were telling me they played a women's soccer game.
There was a women's soccer game in New York. I think it was yesterday, and they had to take hydration breaks every 15 minutes just to be able to continue to play the game because of the amount of smog and just smoke in the air. It's just not healthy for people to be breathing that.
Well, there's been much consternation of why they had this at East Rutherford, because as reported, we talked about this 30 days ago, The field in East Rutherford was considered the worst field of all the fields at the World Cup locations in Mexico, Canada, and the United States, but they still are saying we're doing it there. It must be, and I'm sure it's not must be, it is. It's a logistics issue because all the fans from those countries, all the fans around the world, the president's going to be there Sunday afternoon to present the trophy. So it would be a logistics nightmare. But again, it's an open stadium. It's not a dome stadium.
Yeah. They probably could have scheduled this, realized it at the beginning of the tournament when they realized that East Rutherford was going to be a terrible field condition compared to all the rest. They're going to be like, you know what, let's pivot, let's do something else. And giving a month and a half advance would have been plenty enough time for people to change plans. But now we're, 2 days away.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do about it.
Nothing you can do.
And unless you go play at MSG, which is not possible. I mean, where else are you going to play in a dome? Syracuse? I mean, it's not something you can do. So no. It's unfortunate that we're going to have to show to the world that it's smog.
It's fires. And President Trump is mad because he fired off a hot deal to Canada today. He said, we're going to put 20% tariffs on you because you can't control your damn fires.
Yeah, and it's not just Canada either. I mean, the Rocky Mountains are on fire, so all that smoke is also headed that way coming out from the west. And so it's a whole situation.
It is a whole situation. One thing about President Trump, I failed to ask Mark Brooks, how quickly is Donald Trump going to respond to this Bryson DeChambeau deal? Because Bryson DeChambeau and the president are buddies.
Yeah,
They did
YouTube
one of
friends, right?
Yeah, YouTube friends. Yeah. They did a YouTube the president and Bryson DeChambeau trying to break 50 from the uptees, and they did it. So they're buddies. So and the president is such a sports watcher. He fired off the thing with the FIFA with the card and the kick the guy off for America's team. He convinced him to bring him back on. But in this deal, I'm with Mark Brooks. Yeah. Bryson, you just got to move on. I know you're mad. It's disappointing. It's frustrating. But you got
to. The fact that he threatened to not play, I think that would piss off his sponsors a little bit. And it's not something that I don't think you should do, especially only being three back now.
Oh,
I know
it
was one back, but now you're three back. I mean, you can still make your way back up there and get some prize money.
Yeah, and you're going to get more than just prize money.
Exactly.
Or get that major crown. And again, you got Lucas Herbert is in front of him as a player, but not a world-class, world-beater. Suber, the young kid from Ole Miss, is a nice player. Sam Burns, you got a lot of good players. Just go out and play. Now, conversely, with the World Cup, this thing, and I wish the NFL would look at it, because, man, oh, man, didn't Jerry World look great?
Yep.
Atlanta looked great with the grass. SoFi looked great with the grass. Levi Stadium, they already have grass out there anyway, but it looked great. And now there's more and more NFL players saying, stop. Let's keep the grass at the stadiums because, as we've heard from Jeff so many times, less injuries from the grass fields.
Yeah, and the NFL owners claim to say that that's not a true theory, that the grass and the turf doesn't cause more or less NFL or injuries. But at the end of the day, I mean, it looks like it does, and it seems like it does, even though there's not enough time to back it up. I think that we will someday realize that it is causing a lot more injuries. I was watching videos on my social media all yesterday about, the stadium in Arlington just absolutely demolishing all the grass.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, it's just so upsetting to see this because, one, the turf that the Cowboys use is like the worst in the league, period.
Mm-hmm.
And so taking away the beautiful grass that they had there and replacing it with the worst turf. The NFL is just disgusting. And it's like, people had the questions like, it takes a lot of water to do it, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, do you know how many gallons your local golf course takes a day?
Yeah.
I mean, it's nothing compared to what would take to hold up Jerry World. So
I think another issue with a Jerry World, they have so many concerts there, and they know, I think Jerry's looking at it, didn't want to have to replace or do this. It's a bottom line money deal for Jerry Jones. But listen, Jerry, your franchise is worth billions upon billions of dollars.
Biggest franchise worth in the world.
Most valuable franchise in the world. You can put grass on there. George Kittle issued a statement recently, said, "We made it clear that we prefer grass fields. We know it's better on our bodies, and clearly we know it's possible based on what they've done in the World Cup. At this point, it comes down to the NFL making it a priority mm-hmm. and choosing to invest in us players because our bodies are our business, which they get to capitalize off." Yeah. And Kittle is exactly right.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, like, when you're running, you want to, if you run on concrete, that's, or pavement, that's the most strenuous you can put on your body. When you start running on gravel or dirt or grass, you relieve that
stress, yeah.
That stress uh-huh. off your body.
Yeah.
And so underneath the turf, what is there?
Concrete.
So if you have grass, you have that, the stress will go into the ground rather than back up against you
right.
after the concrete.
So. Well, they know that there are legendary stories about the old Astrodome.
Oh, yeah.
Because my friend, the late Ron Franklin, told me they canceled the preseason football game for the Oilers one day because they had a baseball game, and they had to put the turf down, and they put wood planks underneath it. And he said it was just hard as a rock, number one. Yeah. Number two, it kept on peeling off. They'd run routes, and here'd come part of the deal. It was just dangerous. And Bud yeah. Adams said, we can't have the game, so they did that.
And it's very interesting, too. The only time I ever went to the old Texas Stadium in Irving was a 2005 state championship with Hutto.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing, like, the turf. It literally looked like carpet. And it would like, there would be bubbles of carpet that they just, like, you could tell that, like, it was just straight concrete on the ground, and, like, when they didn't lay it right, it would have these bubbles. And so, like, could you imagine stepping on, like, a bubble and slipping or whatever? And I know turf is a little different these days, and the way that they do it with sand and rubber and all that, it makes it a little softer, but at the end of the day, it is just straight concrete on
yeah,
the ground.
Yeah. Well, we need to have grass everywhere where you can.
I agree.
Period. Okay, on the field at the World Cup, Sunday's final is Spain versus Argentina. Spain defensively has been dynamite, allowing only one goal this entire tournament. One goal, and they've won the games. Argentina is in the final. Argentina has Messi, and Argentina, when they want to play, are flat out ferocious. We saw them come back against Cape Verde, a ferocious comeback against Egypt, a comeback against England. They've been winning by the hair of their chinny chin chin, but I believe they've got the best player in the world in Messi. The footwork, and he's in his 30, well, is he 40 yet, or is he 30, upper 30s? He's 30-something, I guess.
Messi?
Yeah.
Yeah, 39.
He's dynamite. Your thoughts on this? I have no clue who's going to win this. I suspect, you know, Messi and the guys, they've been winning and winning and winning. They won the last one. I guess I would have to pick Argentina, but Spain, damn it, they're good with defense.
So Spain historically hasn't been as good as Argentina. Argentina is a world power, always has been, always will be. Spain in the past millennium, so I guess this millennium, has become one of the powers. In 2010, they won their first one. They've only ever been, this one I think will be their second or third ever final. And so it is interesting to see, like, you know, the dynamics between the two. You have a long-standing powerhouse versus, like, a new blood. And I don't know if you know anything about the lore of this. So there's a picture of Lionel Messi actually bathing Yamin Lamal, the young player. He's 18 years old for Spain, in like a bathtub. It's like a little baby bathtub, and Yamin Lamal is a little bitty baby.
Yeah.
And Messi is bathing him
really?
in this photo. And so it's like, it's crazy, you know, 15 16 17 18 years later, we're getting this match between the two guys.
Yeah.
cuz it was Spain, it was Messi baptizing the next birth of Spain greatness, and now Lamine Yamal is in the game.
Yeah.
So I think it is, it's kind of it's a match between new and old,
right?
And grit versus skill.
Yeah,
I think
I do believe this whole situation is going to improve soccer in this country. I'm not sure we're going to have the meteoric rise that a lot of people want, but
yeah,
public awareness is there. I was talking to one of our friends upstairs who's very excited. Young girl is, you know, going into a different soccer league. She's really excited because they've watched all the World Cup. You don't need any help selling tickets at for the Austin
for
FC.
Q2, yeah, no.
You don't need that, but I think the excitement's going to be there. I think it's going to be a little more critical look at the Austin FC because Jeff has told us for years that this team is lousy, that they don't spend any money. And I agree with Jeff, the time's going to come when the fans, the true fans who know the sport of soccer, unlike I do, will say it's not a very good product and they may start staying away. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I just think overall it's a very, very good thing for U.S. soccer.
Yeah, and there's an article in The Athletic today about college men's soccer, and if you're from Texas, you know that college men's soccer's literally non-existent.
Right.
I think WT up in Canyon.
Yeah, West Texas A&M. Yeah.
Yeah, West Texas is the only school in Texas with a men's soccer team, like an NCAA-sanctioned men's soccer team. And which is insane because Dallas is a great soccer city. So is Austin.
Right.
And so, like, all the rest of them are just club teams and they're just casual soccer players. So,
right.
Like, you don't, a lot of the, all the, anybody that's good in Texas or like, they have to go outsource to get talent and that costs a lot of money.
Right.
And so, not having the money, you're not going to be able to get any training unless you do.
I don't think they're going to expand men's soccer in the state of Texas because of money, because of the tight budgets with many schools, not at A&M and Texas per se,
yeah.
But if you do that, Texas, and I guess Aggies do have, they've got a female soccer team.
Correct.
Texas
yeah.
does. They play at the field, the track.
Texas
over
State
there.
Does as well.
Yeah, so that's wonderful. Texas State now has a gymnastics team, which
yeah,
is terrific.
Now, yeah, the only gymnastics team in the state of Texas, D1
yeah,
that is.
The only D1 team. So I just don't know if Del Conte and the boys are going to say, that's a lot of scholarships.
Yeah.
That's more scholarships and more drain away from football and basketball, and with more schools having to divvy up the money. So, I don't know if that's going to happen anytime
soon. It's interesting because it's very popular in the East Coast, like the North Carolinas,
sure.
the Old Dominions, the JMUs, all those schools. They play really, really good soccer. Kentucky as well. Men's soccer, that is.
Soccer and lacrosse are big on
Florida
the East
State.
Coast. Yeah.
It's on the East Coast. Soccer and lacrosse are massive.
Yeah.
And sometimes on the West Coast as well, Washington and Oregon and Northern California for sure. But I think that Texas has a good place to be a hub. I mean, if you look at, I think Landon Donovan's, or maybe it's Clint Dempsey's from Texas for sure, maybe even Landon Donovan as well. There's a lot of men's soccer stars that are from Texas, but they had to, you know, find their way away from Texas to
right.
be able to get up into the ranks. So having something in Texas would be awesome, but I don't think it's something that's going to happen soon.
One other issue in soccer, tomorrow is the third place game down in Miami. It's going to be France versus England.
Mm-hmm.
Is anybody going to watch that? I just think, boy, talking about the balloon background
on the TV.
Yeah, and
I think
it'll probably be full of people, but the balloon, air is out of that balloon because yeah. I can't imagine the intensity would be just void in France and
yeah.
England.
I think it'll be a good place to show your young talent at the end of the day. I mean, it's one of those things that just, you know, both teams know that it's over. We're just kind of, we're here to, you know, maybe get that bronze medal. But you're going to try to show your young talent and show that the future is bright
yeah.
for the rest of your fans. And I think that's a good thing, but it will be very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mentioned the other day that the NCAA used to do the basketball tournament,
mm-hmm.
third place, third and fourth place, which yeah. they stopped doing. And I'd forgotten that the NFL did it as well. The NFL,
really?
Yeah, they did. They did a consolation game. So this year it would have been Denver versus the Rams.
Yep, yep.
Which would have been a good game, but
why
you go risk the players?
What's the point?
What's the point? So
yeah.
I'm not sure. This may be the end of the third place game of the World Cup because
I doubt it. It's been going.
So?
I mean, it's been 100 years
really?
They've been doing it. They're not. They don't
not
look
stop
to change it,
now? It
anytime
okay.
soon. So.
What do I know about soccer? But Spain and Argentina from hopefully not a smoky MetLife Stadium in New Jersey on Sunday afternoon. We got to take a break. After this break, going to talk a lot of football, some things go on, more More noise at Reckham Seckham, Texas. Teckham, a certain wealthy coach says, I want to get back in the game and much. And Tom Brady wants to change sports. This is a wild story. Is he just jerking our chain or is he serious? We'll talk about that. And much more. We return to 1027 ESPN.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements. Afternoons 4 to 6 on 1027 ESPN.
You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
Sometimes kids play with pretend guns. It's up to us to make sure they don't play with real ones. Keep yours stored locked and unloaded. Learn more at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nFamily Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Jeff and Ed Show on 102.7 ESPN.
Hey, thanks. Welcome back, everybody. Jeff will be back on Monday. He's on vacation. Lucas Herbert leads the British Open, followed closely by Jackson Super. Bryson DeChambeau, the story of the afternoon, assessed a two-stroke penalty for improving his lie on hole number 5 today. That penalty was assessed after his round, and he was pissed. There's still some stories out there saying that he's still threatening not to play the rest of the tournament, which would be ludicrous. Hey, it happens. It's happened before with players, and I'm sorry it happened to you, Bryson, but it happened. And we heard from our friend Mark Brooks of the 15th Club Golf Show tomorrow on KLBJ at 5 o'clock. He was on with us earlier saying, hey, he deserved the penalty because he was stomping around the lie. He was stomping around his lie, and in Mark's view, he improved his lie, improved the lie. So instead of making a bogey on this hole, he makes a triple bogey on the hole, and now he is 3 shots out of the lead. He's one of the world's best players. That's not a ginormous hurdle. Scottie Scheffler's at -4. He's in very, very good position. Pearson Cootie, another Longhorns, at -3. He's in very, very good position. There are a lot of great players near there. Tommy Fleetwood at 4, John Rahm at 4, so it's still wide open. One player who will not be there this weekend is our friend Jordan Spieth. Shot a smooth moving 77 today, 7 over par. So we go another year without a major from Jordan Spieth. I hope he can right the ship. Saying that, he's a human being. Players go through ebb and flow all the time. It took Ben Crenshaw 11 years between majors in 84 and 95. So the thing about Jordan Spieth, he just came out of the gate so fast from the University of Texas, but still got a lot of support in the area. Man, oh man, Kyle Owens with us. Kyle, it's been such a interesting summer with, and ironically, Texas Tech has been in the news most of all with the Brendan Sorsby issue early in the summer. Well, actually, it was, I guess, late spring we learned that Sorsby was an habitual gambler. He had an addiction to gambling. He transferred from Cincinnati to Texas Tech, and Tech officials said, we had no idea that the guy was betting on everything. And they found out when he was reported to the NCAA, he went to gambling school. He went to gambling school to become a better gambler. He went to rehab and came back, and Texas Tech still wanted to play quarterback because their starting quarterback, kid from Hutto, has been injured, and he's going to be around
late. Will Hammond
going to be available in late September, but they really stuck by Sorsby through thick and thin. They found a friendly judge, says, yeah, he can play. NCAA says, you can't play. We learned yesterday that Cody Campbell, the number one booster for Texas Tech, chairman of the Board of Regents, he runs everything at Tech, from the Board of Regents and the athletic department. It was learned that the day before Ken Paxton wrote a, no, the day after Ken Paxton, the Texas Attorney General who's running for Senate, wrote a hot letter to the Big 12 saying, if you mess with Tech, you give them sanctions, we're going to fine you $200 million. Well, found out yesterday that Cody had given a check to Ken Paxton's campaign for almost $250,000, and also
over
a quarter million. I also learned last night, Cody's partner in his old drilling company where they made billions, he gave $250,000, and a third guy involved with Tech Athletics gave another $250,000. So it was almost $800,000 they gave to Ken Paxton. And lo and behold, the next day, Ken Paxton fired off this letter that we're going to sue you. Big 12. But we learned today, money's growing on trees up there, apparently, because they have a new name for their football stadium. It's going to be called Galaxy Stadium. It's part of a 15-year, $75 million naming rights deal. $5 million a year. 15 years, $75 million. Galaxy Stadium replaces Jones AT&T Stadium as home of the Red Raiders. Galaxy's flagship is in Dickens County, about 70 miles east of Lubbock. It's been Jones Stadium for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Opened in 47 in honor of former Texas Tech president Clifford B. Jones and his wife, Aubrey. It was officially renamed from Jones Stadium to Jones SBC Stadium in 2000, following a major corporate gift in excess of $25 million from SBC Communications. Then, in 2006, renamed Jones AT&T Stadium after SBC Communications formally changed its name to AT&T. So, now they have Galaxy Stadium.
And no Jones.
And no Jones Stadium.
People, the Tech people are mad.
Yeah.
They are not happy about it.
Facebook friends from Tech, one of my great friends on Facebook is a former quarterback for Texas Tech, and he was lamenting, what are we doing? Where are the traditions? Have we sold out just for money? And my answer, I didn't answer him, but the answer is yes.
Yeah.
It's all about the money. Interesting in this deal, as part of the 70, not a part, in addition to the $75 million, Galaxy says they will have opportunities for athletes to earn NIL money.
Mm-hmm.
What a deal that is. What a deal that is, because you do Facebook posts, you do Instagram, you do what, Kyle, Snapchat, you do whatever.
Anything that you have a following on. I mean.
And kaboomski, here's Galaxy writing a check to these football players and basketball players, and this money goes to the athletic department. So
$75 million for 15 years is, honestly, that's a groundbreaking.
Yes.
Like, I don't think any other stadium has ever seen anything like that.
No.
Maybe AT&T for Jerry World.
But
that's not even a 15-year deal, and I don't even know if it's $75 million. I mean, this is that's a massive, massive deal. I mean, it's unheard of, that's for sure.
It is unheard of, and I immediately thought of, oh my gosh, what if they ever Mickey Mouse with the name of DKR Texas Memorial Stadium? You know, I don't know if you remember this or not, Kyle. You were a much younger kid when they renamed the stadium Memorial Stadium to DKR, Darrell K. Roll Texas Memorial Stadium. That was highly controversial, too.
Yeah.
Because Memorial Stadium is built in the 20s to honor war veterans of World War I. And it's been that honoring veterans of all the wars. And that was a big controversy with a lot of people then to put Coach Roll's name on it.
I think the only stadium that I can think of that hasn't changed a name in, you know, the 100-plus years is Kyle Field.
Kyle Field.
Which is insane.
That's where the Aggies play.
I mean, because, like, even Olsen is now at Bluebell Park.
Right.
And so it's very interesting. But I'm reading up a little bit on Galaxy. Apparently, they're basically like an AI data center. And so they set up shop 60 miles west of Lubbock.
Right.
And they're feeding everything into the city of Lubbock. So they basically run the city.
Uh-huh.
And now they're going to run the $75 million worth of the university.
I know for O-line Tech people, they're going to go, oh, man, it's not Jones, it's Galaxy Stadium. Can you imagine waking up, Kyle, and saying, okay, it's not DKR Texas Memorial Stadium, it's Google Stadium.
Yeah.
It's Tito's Handmade Vodka Stadium. It's
Texas State just went through all this. I mean, Bobcat Stadium, the football stadium, just turned into UFCU Stadium.
Yeah.
Nobody calls it that. Everybody just calls it Bobcat Stadium.
Nobody calls
Same
it
with the baseball field. It's now Ivan Rasmussen Stadium. It's Bobcat Stadium. It's just the way that people are going to say
it. It's the same thing for
Tech is going to say Jones.
There's a credit union involved with Dish Falk Field.
Yeah.
I've never
it's
called
UFCU.
It, yeah, I've never called that. It's Dish Falk
Field. Dish.
Dish Falk Field. So I don't know what. It's just a changing world, but can you imagine if it was Google Stadium over there and no Memorial Stadium, yeah. no DKR.
I mean, I guess, you know, Texas kind of had to do it with the Moody Center when they went from the Frank Irwin Center. They're the Moody Center. Well, but, I mean, it's two different venues.
And people were mad about that because the Frank Irwin Center, I don't know if you know who Frank Irwin was. Frank Irwin was a confidant of LBJ. He was a longtime regent that ruled the University of Texas with mm-hmm. an iron fist. And they honored Frank Irwin with the naming of the Irwin Center, yeah. what people called it, the Irwin Center, the Superdrome, whatever. Yeah. But in the Moody family, I know the Moody family, Ross Moody and his family give so much money. They have Moody,
huge
the basketball, awesome. Moody ACL. Yeah. And they give that money freely because they want to support Austin, but they also like to have their name
of course
up there. But I just can't imagine if Texas would ever do something like that. Yeah, the outcry. Yeah. And we even talk. And I think some of us are so old school about the uniforms too,
mm-hmm.
because everybody's got multiple different uniforms. Everybody's got different things.
I know
even the Aggies do too.
So A&M, I mean, yeah, they're of course custom to the maroon and white, and now they're trying to do the blackout thing, which is fine. But if I were to ever see a logo on the A&M uniform mm-hmm. or the Texas uniform, it would just feel weird.
Well, and like, Jeff,
it'd just feel off.
See, Jeff and I argue about that. Jeff said, "Well, there's already a logo. There's the Nike.
The Nike.
Well, they make the uniforms. I don't consider that."
Yeah.
An advertising logo.
I mean, it is, in all technicality, it is. But,
yeah.
But it's not like it's, you know, you're not getting, it's besides the manufacturer logo,
mm-hmm.
it's not something that you're used to seeing.
Exactly, because by NCAA rules, you're allowed to have two logos. Yeah. So Texas could sell another logo on their jersey.
Yeah.
They could sell,
What was it, a couple of years ago, the NBA started adding the
yes.
manufacturer on one side and then a logo on the other.
Whatever you want to
on
put
on the other shoulder.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see, you know, if Texas or Texas A&M ever get to the point where they do that. Both schools are very traditional.
Yes.
And so I have a feeling unless it literally absolutely comes down to you have to do this,
right.
I don't think they're going to do it.
I don't think so. You know, the Big 12 now has the Monster Energy.
Yeah.
Monster Energy. So I guess that's going to be on...
on every single field, every single basketball court in the Big 12.
Is it going to be on their uniform? I guess it wouldn't be. It's a separate deal from the...
I don't
but
know.
But it's Monster Energy Big 12.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is a joke.
Yeah.
That is a big joke.
I mean, it's kind of like Dr. Pepper Bowl season, whatever. Now it's Monster Energy Big 12,
yeah.
Big 12 football.
Right.
Monster Energy Big 12 basketball.
And people, you know, it's interesting on... back at DKR Texas Memorial Stadium, I remember when they named the field for the late Joe Jamail.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Jamail, the famous Houston attorney, a ginormous giver to UT sports. He gave a ton of money, close confidant of Coach Rolls, relatives still live in Austin and Houston, strong lawyer, very nice man. And they changed that. Joe died many, many years ago, and they now have the field, it's the Campbell Williams field for Ricky and Earl, but that's what they call the field. But also, they have advertising. You were showing me, and I had not seen this or not aware. They have advertising all right there on the field with the company.
Yeah, and Texas State does, you know, or Texas does Human. They have adjacent to the SEC logo. Texas State does a similar thing. The Jim Wacker Field at Bobcat Stadium back
right.
in the day. Now it's UFCU Stadium. That's also a 15-year contract just like Tex, but it's a third of what Tex
yeah,
gets.
Yeah.
And it's – I don't – I mean, I guess eventually you will get used to it. But as a traditionalist, somebody who comes from a traditional family, I mean, I'm sure you're the same way. It's,
yeah.
it's just weird to see all this advertisement everywhere. It's
what,
just not,
what would the outcry be if the Aggies decided to rename Kyle Field to fill in the blank?
I think an alumni would literally pay more to change it back.
Keep it the way it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like without the name, they just want to be like, hey, no, we're not doing this. I'll give you more money to keep it the way it is
right.
than to have an advertisement as our stadium.
But I do believe we're reaching a point where, and I think athletic directors will have cover to say, listen, look at Tech. They're making $75 million to support
that. Your own pocket.
That's a lot of scholarships. That's a lot of everything. Travel, that's going to be such a boost. We got to do it here or we're going to be behind the curve. That's what they always say. Oh, we're going to be behind. We've got to have this new football. We got to have this.
Not just that. I mean, it's you know, it's taking some of the burden off of your donors. Your donors' shoulders. I mean, because
and donors are fatigued now. I believe
NIL fatigue is fatigue is real.
The fatigue with donor fatigue is real, and those of us who have season tickets to football and basketball, we get zapped with the Longhorn Foundation. That's the tickets are just a pittance compared to what I pay and others pay the Longhorn Foundation.
It's almost like you're buying two seats for one, basically. Now,
yes, yeah, and you know, you do it because that's just the way of the world, but the days are gone when, I want to buy four tickets. Okay, the tickets are X amount of dollars.
Now you got to buy basically the same amount of money for the seat twice.
more so. It's far more. So it's the way of the world, and it's a supply and demand, and people love to go to Longhorn football, basketball, and baseball, and it's hot tickets. Okay, we're going to take a break. After this break, we got more football to talk about. Tom Brady in the news again. We'll talk about that and much, much more. 1027 ESPN.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements. Afternoons 4 to 6 on 1027 ESPN.
This summer, the world's best tennis players are coming back to Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Open returns August 8th through the 23rd. Bigger than ever, with new fan spaces, incredible food, drinks, and entertainment all in one place. Voted Tournament of the Year by the players themselves. Community Weekend starts August 8th. Finals weekend, August 22nd and 23rd. Get your tickets now at CincinnatiOpen.com.